I'm very happy to be here this evening, given this opportunity to spend some time with you in Krishna consciousness. We're going to speak from a verse from Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 3, in verse number, I think it was 10. The subject of this verse is about performances of sacrifice. And Lord Chaitanya appeared in this age of Kali Yuga to introduce the performance of Sankirtan Yajna as a means of performing sacrifice in this age. It is known as the Yuga Dharma, or the primary religion for the age of Kali Yuga. We'll speak a little bit about this, but first we would prefer to read the verse and commentary by Srila Prabhupada, since that should always be the foundation of anything that we speak from. But you don't have Bhagavad Gita yet. I'll read the Sanskrit. Saha yagya praja shishtva puravacha prajapati anena pasavishyadvam eshavo strishtakamaduk. No copies. Distributing books tonight. Another time, type of Sankirtan Yoga. Translation. In the beginning of creation, the Lord of all creatures sent forth generations of men and demigods along with sacrifices for Vishnu and blessed them by saying, "Be thou happy by this yagya, sacrifice, because its performance will bestow upon you everything desirable for living happily and achieving liberation." Purport. The material creation by the Lord of creatures, Vishnu, is a chance offered to the conditioned souls to come back home, back to Godhead. All living entities within the material creation are conditioned by material nature because of their forgetfulness of their relationship to Vishnu or Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Az anyagi teremtésekből minden élőlény feltételekeztek az anyagi természet, mert megfeledkeztek a Vishnuhoz, vagyis Krishnához, az Istenségek belső személyiségéhez bűződő kapcsolatokról.
The Vedic principles are to help us understand this eternal relation, as it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Vedaish Chasaravaya Aham Eva Vedya.
A Vedic ismeretek azért vannak, hogy segítsenek bennünket ezen örök kapcsolat megértésében, ahogyan ezt a Bhagavad Gita elmondja.
The Lord says that the purpose of the Vedas is to understand Him. In the Vedic hymns it is said, Patim Vishvas Yatmeshvaram. Therefore the Lord of the living entities is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. In the Srimad Bhagavatam also, 2.4.20, Srila Shukadeva Goswami describes the Lord as Pati in so many ways. Shiva Patir, Yogya Pati, Prajapatir, Diyam Patir, Loka Patir, Dara Pati, Patir Gatish, Chandraka, Vishni Satvatam, Prasidatam Me Bhagavan Satam Pati. The Prajapati is Lord Vishnu, and he is the Lord of all living creatures, all worlds, and all beauties, and the protector of everyone. The Lord created this material world to enable the conditioned souls to learn how to perform yajnas, sacrifices, for the satisfaction of Vishnu, so that while in the material world they can live very comfortably without anxiety, and after finishing the present material body they can enter into the kingdom of God. That is the whole program for the conditioned soul. By performance of yajna, the conditioned souls gradually become Krishna conscious and become godly in all respects. In the age of Kali, the Sankirtan Yajna, the chanting of the names of God is recommended by the Vedic scriptures, and this transcendental system was introduced by Lord Chaitanya for the deliverance of all men in this age. Sankirtan Yajna and Krishna consciousness go well together. Lord Krishna in his devotional form as Lord Chaitanya is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.32 as follows, with special reference to the Sankirtan Yajna. Krishna varnam tvisha krishnam sango pangascha parshadam jagyai sankirtana prayai yajantihi sumedasa. In this age of Kali, people who are endowed with sufficient intelligence will worship the Lord who is accompanied by his associates by performance of Sankirtan Yajna. Other yajnas prescribed in the Vedic literatures are not easy to perform in this age of Kali, but the Sankirtan Yajna is easy and sublime for all purposes, as recommended in the Bhagavad Gita also 9.14. Om Vachalam Angam Dangayate Garim Yakripatamaham Vande Shri Guram Dinatarana Nama Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Chinamane Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nivishesha Sanyavari Pastachade Satarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasiri Gaura Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, this verse and commentary by Srila Prabhupada very clearly describes the essence of the performance of Sankirtan. Sankirtan means congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord. And the essence is that it is the primary method of satisfying the Supreme Lord in this age of Kali. It is stated elsewhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Kalera Dosha Nidhirajan Astihi Komahadgana Kirtana Deva Krishnasya Mukta Sangam Param Vichet, that the age of Kali is compared to be like an ocean of all bad qualities. But it has one redeeming quality. Kirtana Deva Krishnasya Mukta Sangam Param Vichet, that simply by chanting the names of Krishna and Kirtan, one can achieve liberation and perfection of one's life. It is understood that the meaning of sacrifice is, it means to perform activities for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. Sacrifice must be voluntary. So many people are making sacrifices in this world. They are voluntarily making sacrifices to obtain various goals in life. And we find that the essence of the soul is desire. And in order to fulfill one's desires, one has to perform some type of sacrifice to obtain the fulfillment of one's desire. It may be that one had his desires fulfilled very easily in this life, but it is understood that that was achieved only by the result of performances of sacrifices in previous life. Possible that one performed many pious activities in a previous life, and therefore in this life he gets a high birth, he gets big wealth, or he gets a position. But according to the teachings of the scriptures, it is understood that whatever one achieves in this life is the result of activities performed in the previous life. And whatever activities we perform in this life will determine what will be our next life. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that the living entity carries his different conceptions of life from one body to the next, just as the air carries aroma from one place to the next. So whatever conceptions of life we develop in this lifetime will determine what will be our destination in next life. And it is understood that the human form of life is a rare and valuable gift, because in the human form of life one can voluntarily accept sacrifice. And therefore, by dint of his austerities or sacrifices performed in this life, he can acquire a higher position in his next life. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that men of small knowledge are attracted to the flowery words of the Vedas, which recommend various types of sacrifices for elevation to the heavenly planets, a result in good birth, power, and so forth. Being attracted to sense gratification, they accept the flowery words of the Vedas to mean nothing more than this. Krishna describes that such persons have small knowledge. In the Vedas, there are described various types of sacrifices that one can perform for elevation to heavenly planets, or good birth in one's next life. But here Srila Prabhupada quotes another verse from Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says, Vaidaischa sarvairaham eva veda vedantakrit vedavit eva cha aham. He said, by all the Vedas I am to be known, known. Indeed, I am the compiler of the Vedanta and the knower of the Vedas. In other words, the goal of all sacrifices is to ultimately know who is Krishna. And a person who understands the goal of sacrifice, then he voluntarily accepts a method by which he can please the Supreme Lord.
This,
it is described in the Vedas, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that there are different ages and different sacrifices performed for according to the different ages. The age of Satya Yuga, where the duration of life is very long, hundreds of thousands of years, and the means of perfection was by performances of meditation. Then there's the age of Treta Yuga, where the duration of life is also many thousands of years, and the prescribed method in Treta Yuga was by the performances of great big sacrifices. Dwapara Yuga is the following age, and in that age is described that the method for satisfying the Lord is by performance of elaborate temple worship. But it is described in the age of Kali Yuga, which is the present age, which we are currently experiencing, the duration of life is very short and is becoming even shorter. And therefore, it is very difficult to perform elaborate types of sacrifices or to perform meditation for thousands of years, such as he had performed in Satya Yuga. Therefore, as described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that one of the purposes the Lord appeared is to introduce the method of congregational chanting in the age of Kali Yuga as the primary sacrifice or Yuga Dharma. He says Yuga Dharma Pravatamu Nama Sankirtan Shari Bhavi Bhakti Diya Nachamu Bhuvan. He said, I will come in the age of Kali Yuga, and I will inaugurate the congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord as the primary means of deliverance. He said, I will make the whole world dance in ecstasy, realizing the four transcendental melodies of ecstatic, loving, devotional service to me. It is described how Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago. He appears once in the day of Lord Brahma. The day of Lord Brahma is a very long period of time. It is described, as we just described, that there are four different ages. Satya, Treta, Dwapara and Kali Yuga. And these four different ages, all added together, consists of one Divya Yuga. How many, what is it, 4 million? Huh? 4,320,000 years. And that is a Divya Yuga, or a period of four ages. And then if you take 71 of these Divya Yugas, then you get a lifetime of a Manu, who is the Prajapati of mankind. And then you take 14 of these Manus, and that is equal to one day of Lord Brahma. So I don't know how to do the calculation so quickly in my mind. But it is a very long duration of time. That is Brahma's day. And then this equal duration of time is Brahma's night. When Lord Brahma goes to sleep and there is a partial annihilation of the cosmic manifestation. Lord Brahma has his days and nights that go on for 100 years. And at the end of 100 years of Lord Brahma's life, then the entire cosmic manifestation is destroyed, annihilated, and then there is a period of unmanifestation for an equal period of time. And then again, the Lord of all sacrifices, as is described in the beginning of creation, the Lord of all creatures sent forth generations of men and demigods, along with sacrifices for Vishnu, and blessed them by saying, "Be thou happy by this sacrifice, because by its performance it will bestow upon you everything desirable for living happily and achieving liberation."
És aztán, ahogy mondja Krisna, hogy a teremtés kezdetén az élőlények ura az emberek és fél Isten nemzedékeit teremtette meg Krisna szánt áldozatokkal, aztán megáldotta őket mondván, legyetek boldogok egy agya áldozatától, mert ennek végrehajtása majd megajándék az benneteket mindennel, ami kívánatos a boldog életedés után szabadulásban.
In other words, the creation takes place in cycles. There's creation for 100 years of Lord Brahma, then there's unmanifestation, and then there's creation again. Lord Brahma, another name for Lord Brahma is Aja, one who takes is the firstborn. When the Lord creates unlimited universes, then he enters into each universe as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. And then from Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, from this navel of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, appears Lord Brahma in the stem of a lotus flower. In this universe, Lord Brahma appeared from the stem of the lotus flower coming from the navel of the Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. And he was wondering, where am I? Because it was only he that was existing. And all he could see below him was water. So he climbed down the stem of the lotus flower and he stuck his head into the water. He wanted to see the source of his lotus seat. And when he stuck his head into the water, he heard the vibration, tapa. He accepted that vibration to be divine. A divine origin which he accepted the true meaning of the words tapa, and he climbed back up into his lotus seat and performed meditation for many thousands of years. Upon perfecting his meditation, the Lord appeared to him. He revealed to him the Vaikuntha expanse of the Vaikuntha planets, and he empowered him to create this universe. In each universe there is a Lord Brahma, and there are unlimited universes. Lord Brahma is described as the secondary creator. He is given the seeds of creation from the Supreme Lord. Just like the farmer, when he plants his seeds, he may grow so many different plants in his fields. And he may cultivate different types of vegetables and grains in his field. But the seeds came from someplace else. In the same way, Lord Brahma is described as a secondary creator. He creates all the unlimited living entities. He creates the bodies of the living entities within the universe. And this, but the seeds of creation come from the Lord, who impregnates the living entities into the universal, into the universe, according to the bodies that are created by Lord Brahma. It is a transcendental glance of the Lord who impregnates the living entities back into the universal creation. Then their activities begin, and at the beginning of creation, everyone is given the means of sacrifice. It is described that the whole purpose of this entire cosmic manifestation is twofold. For the living entities to satisfy their own individual desires for happiness, and the primary purpose is to perform sacrifice, so that the living entities can put an end to the bondage and to the material bondage, and ultimately achieve the supreme destination. And there are 8,400,000 different species of life. And it is described that the human form of life is the very rare opportunity, because in the human form of life, a living being can voluntarily perform sacrifice. Just as the lower forms of life, they do not have the intelligence to perform sacrifice, but they act according to their sensual instincts. But the human being is supposed to cultivate the higher state of consciousness. And the cultivation of that higher state of consciousness means to cultivate the desire to understand his eternal identity. Kamasya nendriya patiya labo jiveta jivasya tattva jikasya nato yas jika karma bi. Life's desire should never be directed towards sense gratification. One should desire to live only because the human form of life enables one to inquire into the absolute truth. This should be the goal of all of one's work. This verse is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, which describes that how one should use the human form of life to its full potential. Just like if somebody gives you a brand new computer, very fast and very powerful, it has many different, what do they call those, accessories that come with them. And it's a gift that's given to you and said, here, I want you to have this. And it costs thousands of dollars. A very expensive computer can do so many things. The first thing someone usually does is they begin to look at the manuals to think how they can use it to its full potential. How do I get the most out of this gift? It can do so many things. I can burn CDs, I can watch movies, I can watch television. What else can I do with this computer? We become very anxious to use it to its full potential because it was a gift that was just bestowed upon us without even asking. In the same way, it's understood that the human form of life is that rare, valuable gift. It's the gift by which the living entity can actually utilize its human form of life to its full potential. And the intelligent person should ask himself, how do I use my life to its full potential? Bhagavatam says, don't simply use it for sense gratification. But utilize it to inquire into the absolute truth. This should be the goal of all of one's work. Therefore, the human form of life is to actually restrict the tendency for sense gratification. That is the importance of the human form of life. To voluntarily restrict for a higher goal. But we find that when we try to simply restrict, desires are still there. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, the body and the soul may restrict themselves from sense gratification, but the desire for sense gratification still exists, it's still there. But ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he becomes fixed in consciousness. This is where Lord Chaitanya comes in. Cheto dapana majanam bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam. It is described by Lord Chaitanya in the Shastika prayers, but the Sankirtan movement is the nectar. It provides us the nectar for which we are all hankering for. Parama karuna pahudvi jana nitai gora chandra sabhavata sarasiromani kevala ananda kanda. Lord Chandas Thakur describes that he worships Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who provided the means of congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord, which is kevala ananda kanda, which is simply joyful. When it comes to restricting ourselves from sense enjoyment, it is not a very easy thing to do. Especially in the age of Kali, where we lack so much qualification for a voluntary restraint. Sometimes we may see yogis performing very severe austerities, and that we understand that they are given the ability to perform these different types of austerities by dint of their strong desire and determination. But Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, as well as all austerities that you perform, you should do it for me. The highest austerity is to please the Lord. And Lord Chaitanya in this age has given a method of pleasing him, which is kevala ananda kanda, simply joyful. Our only qualification for attaining this type of Krishna prema which Lord Chaitanya came to give is that we're not qualified. That's our qualification. If we realize that, we can become qualified. But the tendency is we always think ourselves, we become proud. We think, oh, I'm so intelligent, or I'm so beautiful, or I'm so wealthy, I have so much wealth, why do I need God for? It's very difficult for a proud person to actually to depend upon the Supreme Lord. But actually in this age of Kali, the qualification of the living entity is to realize that I have no spiritual qualification for understanding my relationship with God. And that is why Lord Chaitanya made the method of sacrifice so easy for this age. He says, simply chant the names of Krishna. By chanting these names, one can achieve all perfection in life. But sometimes people wonder, what is the benefit of this chanting of Hare Krishna? What will I get out of it? And therefore sometimes people look at the devotees when they're chanting Hare Krishna, and the first thing they'll do, they'll say, why don't you do something productive. Why are you wasting your time with all this? I could tell you I joined the Krishna Consciousness Movement in the early 70s. And in those days we used to go out chanting in the streets every single day in the winter and summer. That's what Prabhupada wanted us to do, and he always emphasized the importance of Harinam Sankirtan. It was even before book distribution started so much. During those years, joining the Hare Krishna movement, going out on Harinam Sankirtan. This is how Srila Prabhupada realized, and he says right here in this commentary, he says, Sankirtan Yajna and Krishna consciousness go well together. So Prabhupada has given us the essence of distributing the holy name of the Lord by chanting the holy name of the Lord in public. And so we used to go out I joined the Krishna Consciousness Movement in Boston. And we used to go out to a public place, and we used to sometimes one or two of us or four of us, we would just stand there and just chant all day long. Over the course of a couple of years, it became a little bit more developed, and we developed a little Harinam that we would sit down and play harmonium, mridanga, and sit and chant all day long. One would rise in the morning, attend the morning program, clean the temple for about an hour, and then everyone would go out on Harinam Sankirtan. And we took up with us our potatoes and bread. That's all we could afford during those days. We used to call it the Boston lead bread. PB lead. The mineral. It was very heavy bread. But during those years, there was not much opulence in the Krishna consciousness movement. It was a real sacrifice to move into the temple. In fact, I even remember sometime in the winter, I remember the first year that I joined, that we would walk into the bathroom in the morning to shower and slip on the ice. we couldn't even afford to heat the temple. And we all bought these coats for $20 that we before going to sleep, we'd zip it up all the way to our heads and lie down and go to sleep in our coats.
Yes.
I'm speaking a little bit about the early days in the Krishna consciousness movement because we're talking about sacrifice. And it wasn't easy to sleep in our coats every night in the freezing cold. And then to get up in the morning, go to the morning program, clean, and then go out and harinam all day during the winter. But many times I had this experience, and people would look at us and say, "What are you doing this for?" They couldn't understand why would a person voluntarily stand out in the freezing cold just chanting these names of God, and why don't you do something productive and you get a job? I also, years later when we started distributing books, I remember being questioned like this many times. I remember distributing books in places when the weather was like minus 20, 25 degrees. And we would be standing out in front of shops and stores and waiting for people to come out. And they were all running out of the freezing cold and trying to quickly get to the car so they could turn the engine on and get the heat on. And we would try to stop them smiling to get them forget about and try to get them to forget about the cold for a couple of minutes. And they would look at us with the eyes, "What are you doing out here?" It would be so cold that my eyes would sometimes freeze shut and I'd have to take my hand out of my glove and to get my eye to open up so I could And you might think maybe I was crazy. But we're all reminded always that actually distributing the holy name was very pleasing to Srila Prabhupada. And distributing Srila Prabhupada's books was also very pleasing to Srila Prabhupada. I could tell you one, because Srila Prabhupada used to say that the sound of the madanga can be heard locally, but the distribution of my books is called the Brihat Madanga because the sound of the madanga can be heard all over the world. So Srila Prabhupada introduced a method of sacrifice by which the devotees could satisfy Krishna's pure devotee and still at the same time voluntarily accept whatever was necessary to distribute the glories of the holy name of the Lord with chanting of the holy names and distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. And the same principle is there as the sacrifices which were recommended at the beginning of creation. But they were perfectly designed by Krishna's pure devotee, following in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya, who took the holy name to every town and village. Lord Chaitanya appeared for both internal reasons and for external reasons. The internal reasons which Lord Chaitanya appeared is because he wanted to see what kind of taste my devotees have by serving me. He was experiencing such a taste from because the Lord, of course, is always experiencing a higher taste. He is the supreme enjoyer. But he was seeing the devotees that were serving him were enjoying even more than he was. And they were wondering, what is it that they see in me that gives them so much of a taste to want to please me? Krishna is all-knowing, but that's one thing he didn't know. So therefore, in order to know it, he had to come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because he's all-knowing, he has to know everything. But this is how he was able to know what kind of taste his devotees have by serving him. So this is described as the internal reason for the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. In fact, I was going to read just a few verses from the Adi Lila, where Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami very nicely describes this point. He says that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Lord. I'm going to modify it and I'm not going to read all the verses in full. I'm going to give the essence. And he eternally enjoys pastimes in the eternal bowl of Goloka Vrindavan. And then he describes how once in the day of Brahma, the Lord Krishna appears. We already explained that about the different ages and different yugas and how long they are. And he says that at the end of Dwapara Yuga, on the 28th Divya Yuga, Krishna appears on earth. With the full paraphernalia of his eternal Vajradham. And then he describes the four primary different types of mellows or relationships that his devotees have with him. And he says that the devotees who cherish these four mellows, by these four mellows, Krishna is subdued. In other words, Krishna is conquered by love. The devotees who serve him in pure love, they are conquered by him, and therefore Krishna becomes subservient to them and wants to please them. What is the criteria of love? It means the desire to exclusively please the object of one's love. Without any agenda. I'm not doing it because I want something in return. How can we please really express love if we want something back for it? So in Goloka Vrindavan, the devotees of Lord Krishna, they love only Krishna and want to please him. They don't love Krishna because he's God. They don't even think of him as being God. They think, this is my friend. Krishna's friends think that they're equal. Krishna's friends jump on Krishna's back. Now how could Krishna's friends do that if they thought he was God? Would you jump on God's back? You would be afraid. Because he's God. You'd be very, very afraid to jump on his back or to cover his eyes. Or you would be in great awe and reverence to be in the presence of God. Krishna's friends aren't in awe and reverence. Krishna's mother is not in awe and reverence. Krishna's mother thinks that my son needs to be protected by me. She thinks that my son is dependent upon me. If I don't feed him, he'll be hungry. The devotees love Krishna in this way. And they don't see Krishna in terms of his opulences or his majestic features. Even though Krishna is Bhagavan, one who has all opulences in full, the devotees in Vrajadham, they do not think of Krishna as Bhagavan. When Mother Jasoda sees the demigod showering flowers on her son, she thinks, oh, just look how wonderful my son is. Just like a mother, if her son happens to be the president, it doesn't make any difference. Still, he's her son. That's how she sees her. That my son, he's the president. But she still thinks that's my son. So sometimes Krishna's returning from the pasturing grounds with his cowherd boyfriends, and Mother Jasoda sees demigods showering flowers from the sky, and she thinks, how wonderful my son is.
És amikor Krisztán jönhet a barátaival legelőről, a tenyőpásztor fiúkkal, és Jasodalja látja, hogy a Félistenek irányosat szórnak, akkor Jasodalja csak azt mondja, hogy ó, milyen csodálatos az egy kisfiú.
She's never struck by awe and reverence about her son, because she simply loves Krishna, because she's Krishna, my son. Because he's Krishna, my son. They do not see the opulences of Krishna. Like others outside of Vrindavan see. Krishna is Bhagavan, who is all opulences in full. He's the most wealthy. He's the most powerful. He's the most intelligent. He's the most renounced. He's the most beautiful. He's the most famous. Krishna is the most of everything. But the devotees in Vrindavan don't make friends with Krishna because he's the most of everything. They make friends with Krishna because they love Krishna. Just like a very wealthy person, sometimes he wonders who his friends are. Who his friends are. Right? He thinks, why is he becoming so friendly with me? Does he care about me or does he care about my money? So he's very careful who he makes friends with. Because he doesn't really know who his friends really are, because he thinks they're more interested in his money than they're interested in him. Or a very beautiful person may be thinking, oh, others are attracted to my beauty, they want to enjoy me. But they don't care about me, they just simply want to exploit me and enjoy me. Krishna is also a person. He's the most beautiful. He's the most wealthy. But what conquers him? He's conquered when the devotee sees, loves Krishna because he's Krishna. And they serve him because not because they want something from him, but they want to please him. He becomes conquered by that type of love. He says in the Bhagavatam that the unalloyed devotional service rendered to me by my devotee conquers me. Like I always tell that story, it's one of my favorite stories Prabhupada tells. This is such a perfect example of the Prime Minister Gladstone. The Prime Minister of Gladstone had a very important meeting with an ambassador. And the ambassador arrived to his office on time for his meeting. And he told the secretary, could you please tell the prime minister I'm here to meet with him? The secretary went into the prime minister's office. She was a few minutes and then came back out. And she told the ambassador, he's busy right now. Ask you to sit down and please wait. He'll be with you shortly. So the ambassador is sitting down and he's waiting and waiting and waiting. And he begins to think, I'm an ambassador. Why is the prime minister making me wait so long? What's more important than to meet with me right now? What is he doing? So he noticed that when the secretary left the office, that the door was left open a little bit, so he decided to look in to see what is the prime minister doing. So he stuck his head into the door, in the door, and looked and saw that the prime minister was on the floor on his hands and knees. And he was playing like a horse with his grandson who was riding him on his back. And every time his grandson would kick him, he would jump up and run on his hands and knees. The ambassador is thinking, this is what's so important? Prabhupada tells the story and says, this is Krishna. This is what is important to Krishna. He's controlled by love. He doesn't have to come involved in the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of this cosmic manifestation. Krishna simply enjoys with those who love him because he is Krishna. And in Braj and Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan, everyone loves Krishna. Everybody talks about Krishna. Everybody sings about Krishna. Everybody is serving Krishna and pleasing Krishna according to their particular relationship they have with Krishna. And what is Krishna doing? Krishna is reciprocating with each and every desire they have within their hearts. Krishna is conquered by love. If you want Krishna to be your son, he'll become your son. And you don't even have to think of him as God. You can simply think of him as your son, or your friend, or your lover. So here it says, by these different relationships with Krishna, Lord Krishna is subdued. He's conquered by this kind of unalloyed love by his devotees who render spontaneous service to him. And absorbed in such transcendental love, Lord Krishna enjoys in Braj with his devoted servants, friends, parents, and lovers. He enjoys his transcendental pastimes as long as he wishes, and then he disappears. Of course, he disappears means that he disappears from the vision of those in this world. Krishna never completely disappears, just as the sun never disappears from the sky. The sun may disappear from our vision, but it's always in the sky someplace. So Krishna's pastimes go from one universe to the next, just like the hands of the clock move from 1 minute to the next. So Krishna comes, he displays his beautiful pastimes with his eternal associates, and then he disappears. From the vision of those in this world. But after disappearing, he thinks thus. For a long time I have not bestowed unalloyed loving service to me upon the inhabitants of the world. Without such loving attachment, the existence of the material world is useless. This is how Krishna is thinking. After he appears as Krishna, he leaves this universe and he begins, and then after leaving, for, as we described, the day of Brahma, each day of Brahma is when he comes. And also in each day of Brahma, Lord Chaitanya comes. But in each day of Brahma, Lord Chaitanya comes to bestow this type of devotional service as experienced by the residents of Vrindavan. In every Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya comes as Gaura Narayan. But actually, once in the day of Brahma, he comes to bestow this type of loving devotional service experienced by the residents of Vrindavan. And it is this type of devotional service that Lord Chaitanya, who appeared 500 years ago, came to distribute. He said, without such loving sentiment, the existence of the material world is useless. Everywhere in the world, people worship me according to scriptural injunctions. But simply by following such regulative principles, one cannot attain the loving sentiments of the devotees in Vrajabhumi. He's saying that simply by strictly following scriptural injunctions, one can't conquer Krishna. Even one may be very expert in studying the scriptures. Just as Prahlad Maharaj says that one may be very a learned Brahmin, or be very, very knowledgeable. One may simply perform austerities and sacrifices, elaborate sacrifices. But still the Lord will not be pleased. The Lord is only pleased when one has devotion to Him. So Krishna says that simply by studying the scriptures will not attract me. He said that, he says this verse that I already quoted, Yuga Dhamma Pravatamu Nama Sankirtana. I shall personally inaugurate the religion of the age, Nam Sankirtan. The congregational chanting of the holy name. I shall make the world dance in ecstasy, realizing the four mellows of loving devotional service. And then he says, I will accept the role of a devotee, and I will show everyone by practicing it myself. He says, unless one practices devotional service himself, how can he teach it to others? Of course, this is one of the symptoms of Kali Yuga also, is the age of hypocrisy. People don't practice, but they like to teach. So Krishna says, I will come, but I will teach by my own example. I will teach what real sacrifice is. He's God, but he's come in the mood of a devotee. And therefore Lord Chaitanya is known as Chana Avatar. He is the hidden incarnation. Because in the age of Kali, he doesn't appear as God, but he appears as a devotee of God. And what does he demonstrate? He demonstrates how he is constantly absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. And he also demonstrates he comes for his external reasons is to propagate the congregational chanting of the Holy Name. Krishna says, Yadyadacharati Sheshtastatarivitarojana. Whatever actions performed by great men, then common men will follow in his footsteps. And whatever standards he sets by his exemplary acts, all the world pursues. So Krishna thinks that I will go again, but this time I'll teach by my example. Previously, when I appeared as Krishna, I taught surrender to me, but in a theoretical way. I said, abandon all varieties of religion and surrender unto me, and I will deliver you from all sinful reactions. But I came as God and announced this in Bhagavad Gita to everyone, to surrender to me. So let me go again. But this time, let me teach it by my own example. That is why Lord Chaitanya appeared. He appeared to teach the method of religion for the age of Kali Yuga. And therefore he took to the streets with all his devotees, his associates, as Prabhupada quotes the verse in the verse we read from today. Krishna, in the age of Kali, people, intelligent people, they'll worship the incarnation of the Lord. People who have sufficient intelligence will worship the Lord who is accompanied by his associates. By the performance of Sankirtan Yajna. This is the method. The Lord comes in the age of Kali, and previously when he came as Krishna, he came with many weapons to kill the demons. But when he came as Lord Chaitanya, he carried no weapons. He did not come to kill anyone, but he simply came to kill the ignorance in the heart. That is the mercy Lord Chaitanya came to bestow upon the residents of Kali Yuga. Anyone who comes in contact with the holy name of the Lord is very fortunate. Because by coming in contact with the holy name, then one spiritual life begins. As we said in the Kali Yuga, it is very difficult to renounce sense gratification. But Lord Chaitanya is so merciful that he came to give a process that is joyful. Anyone who voluntarily accepts this process, voluntary, because religion must be voluntary. Just like I was telling somebody yesterday, you can't legislate faith. Or just as Krishna also, Krishna can't force us to serve him. Prabhupada gives the example, if you put a gun to someone's head and said, love me, is that love? So Krishna can't force us to love him. But he's so merciful that he comes and attracts us by this process. Anyone who voluntarily accepts this name. Prabhupada gives the example that when Krishna appeared, Krishna said, first you surrender and then I'll deliver you. But when Lord Chaitanya came, he took that condition away. He didn't even make that as a condition anymore. He said, simply take. Take, that is all. Take this name and make yourself happy. Prabhupada gives the example. when a child is playing with a knife, it is very dangerous. If you try to take the knife away from the child, it could become more dangerous because the child will resist. So instead, what do? You give him a colorful toy. And in order to take the toy, he has to drop the knife. That is what Lord Chaitanya has done for us in this age. He's giving us a joyful process by which we can give up our attachment to sense enjoyment. Lord Chaitanya came to simply give and removed all other conditions. And Lord Nityananda, he also came for the same purpose. He would fall on the ground crying with tears in his eyes, begging, please chant the name of Guru. So just as Krishna and Balaram appeared 5,000 years ago, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda appeared 500 years ago. And they came to give the sacrifice for this age and the means for achieving the highest perfection. It is all experienced by the performance of Sankirtan Yajna. Therefore we see how perfectly Srila Prabhupada, as Lord Chaitanya's ambassador, gave us the means for satisfying the Lord. Srila Prabhupada preserved everything that Lord Chaitanya came to give. Yeah, just as Lord Chaitanya came to give the holy name, Srila Prabhupada started this Krishna consciousness movement in Tompkins Square Park in New York with simply one small drum, and he was chanting the names of Krishna. This whole Krishna consciousness movement that has been transplanted throughout so many cities throughout the world all came from his chanting of Hare Krishna. And his pure unalloyed faith in the holy name of the Lord. If we simply take this holy name and make it our treasure in life, it is known as the Prema Ratna Dana, the treasure, the most valuable jewel, the most valuable gem. People may look externally and they may judge, well, what is this person doing, but they don't have no idea what's going on internally. What is happening by chanting this name? The heart is becoming cleansed. And all the our desires and attachments that have kept keeping us entrenched and attached and connected to this material world are gradually being washed away, cleansed from the heart. Lord Chaitanya and Srila Prabhupada have come to give us this method of sacrifice. And this whole Krishna consciousness movement is based on this principle. Harinam, Harinam, Harinam eva kevalam kaloa nasteva, nasteva, nasteva gatiranyata. Chant the holy names, chant the holy names, chant the holy names. Prabhupada said in Kali Yuga, if you want to emphasize a point, you have to say it three times. Kaloa nasteva 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 gatiranyata. In this age of Kali, there is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way. Thank you for your attention. Hare Krishna. Anybody have any questions? Thank you.
appear in this special form, then what is his mission?
Also distributing the holy name. Whereby one can obtain Vaikuntha Prema. But once in every day of Brahma, he comes to give Raja Prema. That is described in Adi Rudra. Actually, I didn't have so much association with Prabhupada. I saw him several times. But Prabhupada knew better and always kept me at a distance. I was there with him in Mayapur when he was giving lectures in 1976. I saw in Rath Yatra in New York in 1976. I also saw him in New York in 1975. I cleaned his room for him in Vrindavan in 1976. But before Prabhupada entered the room, everybody, his servant said, "Everybody get out of here, Prabhupada's coming." So, my observation was always from a distance. I never had such personal association with Prabhupada. But usually when everyone asks me, when did you first meet Srila Prabhupada, I always tell them that it was in
1972.
It was in a bookstore in Washington, D.C. I went into the bookstore looking for a book on yoga. And I saw this Bhagavad Gita as it is sitting on the bookshelf. I opened up the book and immediately I opened up to the page of the yogi sitting in meditation, going to, showing the soul going to and I said, "This looks like a very good book on yoga. I'm going to purchase it." That was my first meeting with Srila Prabhupada. I started to read the book every night after work. In fact, I found out many, many years later from a devotee that put the book there in the bookstore. The bookstore never had that book in stock. One devotee just went and stuck it on the shelf. He just left it there. Of course I paid for it. Because the price was on the back of the book. The bookstore took my money. The devotee told me, he said, "Oh, you went into that bookstore on Connecticut Avenue in Washington, D.C. He said, "I put that book there." That's how I met Srila Prabhupada first time. Okay. Thank you very much. I think it's time for ending. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Or is it over? We can have a short kirtan?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay.
Is it her?
Yes.
I always like it. Who's a little character?
Yes.
Okay.